Well, we're going to turn to the Bible now, to the Word of God, so let's pray together, shall we? Father, we want to thank you that your love keeps us secure and safe. It's unchanging. And Lord, even though our hearts are changing, you are unchanging. We pray, Lord, that you'd come. Come and speak to us, Lord. Where we are, whatever we're doing, come and speak to us. Amen. Well, hi, guys. Hope you're doing well. I wonder how you're managing to cope with your sense of isolation and racing around at the supermarket and standing 2 meters away from everybody. It's all a little bit strange, isn't it? We're challenged. I'm really challenged by this whole thing. You know, I'm a big hugger, and we can't do this anymore. But, you know, we will get through this together. We've created our own little bubble. It's been such a joy to welcome Warren and Sarah Watson and their son Andrew to come and live with us in our bubble. And the great thing is that Andrew is currently studying film studies in university at the moment. So he's coming and bringing all his expertise to us, which is great. Do you know, human nature is really, really interesting. I find that when we're told to take a break and rest, we resent it. But when we desire to have a break and don't get it, we resent it. It's really quite bizarre. Do you know, I like to recharge by finding a quiet corner where nobody is and just maybe just resting or listening to music. However, when I'm forced to do it, I find a real resentment rising up in my heart because it's almost like I'm not allowed to be me. But actually, we can be us wherever we are, just in a restricted and isolated way. The challenge is actually what's going on in my heart, not what's going on around me. It's said of men that they require cave time. That's when they go into their man cave, maybe the garage, and they start one of their many projects that they promise will get finished but never quite does. And it seems like the whole world has been put into a sort of an enforced cave time, where we're isolated and away from one another. The image of a cave is not foreign to the Bible. And when we look biblically at the idea of a cave, or even not as an idea of a cave, we instantly sort of think of it being isolated and away from everything, where bears live and all sorts of things. But there are plenty of caves in the Bible. And it's fascinating to see what happens in those caves. Just do a little search. Maybe press the pause button or something, I don't know. Have a little search for caves, and you see an extraordinary amount of things that happen in them. And it's in the cave that actually God often does his greatest work in our lives. What I'd like to do is to choose three of those biblical caves and see three encounters in those caves in the hope that this speaks to our hearts and help us to see what God may be doing in us and how he may be offering help to us in this cave time. So the first cave is the cave of discouragement. This, if you looked at Psalm 142, this is actually when he was in a cave, it says, underneath the writing of Psalm 142 there. David was a famous giant slayer, and also a shepherd boy who eventually became a mighty king of Israel. But at this point in his life, David was forced to retreat into a cave, the cave of Adullam, in 1 Samuel 22. Because Saul, King Saul, who he was serving, was jealous and looking to take his life. Now the cave for David was a cave where all his props and supports and crutches were stripped away, all his power and position was gone. And in a similar way, for some of us, we're forced into a place of isolation where we're facing difficulties, maybe the threat of a job loss, financial instability, maybe dreams of a future are shattered, maybe your plans for this year have had to change radically. And I know John and Sharon Eccles were looking to go to Europe to have a tour, and they've had to call that off. And I know for me, we had planned to go and see our kids and go to a great leadership conference and then walk a great pilgrimage walk this year, but We've had to cancel that. And that sense has been robbed from me and from us. There's that sense of real sort of desolation about it and discouragement. But in the cave, in this cave, we can encounter God's strength and God's courage. David honestly faced his predicament with the Lord. You know, sometimes we can just sort of push it away. But God came to God and voiced his discouragement to God. You know, God is big enough to take our discouragement. It won't change his goodness or his attitude towards us. Psalm 142, when he was in this cave, he cried out like this: I cry aloud to the Lord. I lift my voice to the Lord for mercy. I pour out my complaint before him. Before him I tell my trouble. When my spirit grows faint within me, it is you who know my way. David knew that God knew the way through his discouragement. And I'm learning that myself, and I hope you are too. Furthermore, whilst he was in the cave, David, it says, strengthened himself in the Lord. And he also saying, Lord, you are my refuge. How do we strengthen ourselves in the Lord? Well, just a couple of quick things. Start to learn Scripture by heart. Let it dwell in your heart. Let the truth of who God is seep into our being. And the second thing is also understand who we are in God. We are a precious child of God. We are a prince or a princess in the household of God. We are co-heirs with Jesus Christ. So it's a wonderful opportunity really for us in this place possibly of discouragement to be encouraged in who we are in the Lord. You know, we know that David didn't die in the cave. We know that he had a future and a hope. There was a crown ahead for him. We knew he grew strong in the Lord and survived his cave encounter. So like David, let's possibly use our cave time to be honest with God and pour out our complaints before him. He's big enough to receive it. God understands, knows, but moreover, he wants to draw near to us in this place. So let's also use this cave time to strengthen ourselves in the Lord. Understand it's not what we do that defines us, but who we are in him and what our purpose is in him that really is the true essence of who we are. Because we know that in God we live, we move, and we have our being. And remember this, friends, also. God is always working on a bigger and better plan for your life than you are. So that was the first cave. The second cave was Elijah's cave, the cave of exhaustion. Elijah was a great prophet, and he famously spent time in a cave called the Cave of Horeb in 1 Kings 19. But he got to that cave, first of all, by living a life of just fighting for God. Do you know, he fought the prophets of Baal, a great spiritual victory. The people of Israel all came back to the Lord God. But Elijah found himself in a moment of complete self-doubt and spiritual exhaustion. So he arrived at this cave feeling afraid, fed up with life, and ready to give up. He was maybe probably even burned out. And for some of us, maybe you're in that state as well. You know, for some of us, this time of lockdown and isolation, we may be feeling fearful or fed up, fried or exhausted. But in this cave, for Elijah and maybe for you and I, we can find an encounter of spiritual restoration. On Elijah's way to the cave, God had the kindness to send an angel to him to bake a cake on hot stones. And then the angel told Elijah, now get some rest because there's a big journey ahead. And in some ways, God perhaps was treating Elijah like a small child who gets themselves in a bit of a tiz. and says, look, have some food, take a nap, and we'll chat, we'll talk when you're feeling a bit more composed. And the good news is when Elijah was physically restored, that was when God could then spiritually restore him. Often we want to have the spiritual restoration, but we just don't have the energy to be able to allow God to do that. So Elijah found himself in this cave, and God was very present and drew near. God says, come out and I will show you my glory. I will let my presence pass by you. And as his presence passed by him, God then gave him that encounter that gave him a new purpose. And God wants to allow that kind of encounter with you in this time of isolation. Maybe for us in our cave time, this is a God-given opportunity for us to get some rest. Maybe some of us are chronic overworkers. So get some rest, eat some nice food, spend some time with friends and family, maybe even online. Go for slow walks and pray what you can pray, not what you think you can pray or hope you can pray. So read some good books, slow down, get some rest, and then allow God to start to transform you. Because once our balance has been restored, God can then have the room to give us spiritual restoration. And when we start to get new perspective on our lives and a new purpose, you know, out of Elijah's encounter, he then raised up a new prophet for the country. He had a job of then being a trainer of those who were to fill his steps. And out of this time, God may very well be giving you a new calling and a new purpose. God has a plan for you. So allow yourselves to be physically and spiritually restored. The final cave I want to look at, if I may, is Lazarus's cave, you know, the cave of death. Lazarus was a close friend of Jesus and became unwell and died. You see that in John chapter 11. And he was laid to rest in a cave near the village of Bethany, where he lived with his two sisters. And it might be that as the pandemic spreads around the world and around this nation, there are many people who are living with the fear of death. For some of you, may be even feeling spiritually dead inside, a kind of numbness. And with that, that's a really hard feeling. In this cave, it can be that the joy of life is simply gone for you. You may begin to wonder, has God lost track of you? Does he care? Does my life actually mean anything? You know, I got to that cave many years ago in London where I thought, what's my life worth? But then I encountered God's resurrecting life in Jesus. Because there is good news. In Lazarus's tomb, God reached in with life. And he encountered a new life. Jesus came, stood outside Jesus' tomb. And at this point, we realize and we see that Jesus speaks the shortest verse. Jesus wept. And even today, Jesus weeps over our brokenness and our state of being without him. He loves each one of us deeply and weeps over our broken world. But Jesus then does what only Jesus can do. He brings dead things back to life. And he brought Lazarus new life. And the great thing about this is that Jesus did it in a really passionate way. He stood outside and he shouted at Lazarus's tomb, Lazarus, come out, come forth. And instantly life came into Lazarus. You know, Jesus speaks to our fear of death by proclaiming this, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. Whoever lives by believing in me will never die. So Jesus calls us out of our state of death or fear of death and says, come out, you don't have to live like this anymore. So three caves, three life-changing encounters. Friends, there is hope. David, Elijah, and Lazarus all encountered and experienced the power of God and his presence in different ways, but ways that meant something individually for each one of them. They discovered that in the cave, that is where God does his most transforming work. When all our props and crutches are stripped away, we rediscover that God is enough and that he always will be enough, and that his power wants to flow through us, especially when we're feeling lonely, vulnerable, or afraid. Friends, it won't be long before we come out of our caves. We'll be loosed into life once more. In this time of isolation, let's be awakened to the power encounters that we can have with God. Let's pray, shall we? Oh God, we love you. We love you, Lord, that no cave is so dark or so isolated that you cannot come and encounter and inhabit it with us. And Father, I pray now that you would come and bring us courage. Lord, bring us life. Bring us everything, Lord, that we need. And especially, Lord, would you spiritually restore us that we may encounter the life that there is in Jesus. Amen. Friends, just very briefly, if you want to refresh your life in Jesus, if you're feeling spiritually dead, I want to just say, give your life to Jesus. Give this cave timer an opportunity to be transformed. So I'm going to pray a quick prayer. If you'd like to give your life to Jesus and start afresh, I'm going to offer an opportunity now. So let's pray. You might want to echo this in your heart. Lord Jesus, thank you for dying for me that I might have new life. Lord, I offer you my life. I'm sorry for everything that I've done wrong. I offer you my life and ask you to come and live in me that I might die to my death and I might live to your life. Come and be my Lord and Savior, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah.